Galatians chapter 6. My brothers, if somebody is caught up in any kind of fault, those of you who are spiritual should correct him, but in a very gentle way, keeping an eye on yourselves, that you also aren't tempted. Carry one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. So it's not true to say, yeah, well, that's your problem. That's your problem. That is a very common attitude. And yet we are to bear one another's burdens. And that fulfills the law of Christ. Now, we're not under the law of Moses. That's finished. And it's been replaced with the law of Christ. But you could understand that as meaning the law which is Christ. The simple law that we have is, what would Jesus do? Which actually is a lot more demanding than trying to keep a specific set of laws like you've got in the law of Moses. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he only deceives himself. Let each one judge his own behavior. If it's good, then he can be proud of what he himself has done without having to compare himself with what others have done, for each must carry his own load. The man who is being taught the truth of Christ should share all good things he has with his teacher. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. A person reaps that which he sows. If he sows to the flesh, he will of the flesh receive the harvest of death. If he sows to the Spirit, then he will of the Spirit reap the harvest of eternal life. So then, the life that we're living now is sowing. And what's going to happen is that it will all spring up into a harvest when Jesus comes back. So it follows, therefore, that what we're doing now in this life is sort of defining how we are going to eternally live and be. And so there's huge meaning to life now, because how we're living now determines how we're going to live forever. Let us not be weary in well-doing, because if we do not give up, then the time surely will come when the harvest will be gathered. So then, as often as we have opportunity, we should do good to all men, and particularly to those who are of the household of the faith. See what large letters I'm writing, because I'm writing now with my own hand. It's as if he is writing this letter, but he's using very large letters. Of course, he was writing by handwriting. And so that's one reason why people suggest that Paul may have been partially sighted. Perhaps when he was on the road to Damascus, the glory of the light that he saw of Jesus affected his eyesight. And so he's writing this letter on the scroll with very large handwriting. He goes on, those who are trying to make you get circumcised are the ones who want to be proud and boast in the flesh, but they're doing it only so that they may not be persecuted for the sake of the cross of Christ. Even those who demand that you're circumcised don't actually obey the law of Moses. They want you to be circumcised so that they can then boast that they've got you to do this ceremony. But as for me, I will boast in nothing apart from in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified to the world. It makes no matter at all whether one is circumcised or not. All that matters is being part of the new creation. So God spoke, and the old creation came into being. God said, let there be light, and there was. Think of the huge amount of power that was in those words. God spoke and it was done. Well, God is making a new creation in us. And in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, if any man is in Christ, that is, if we're baptized into Christ, he is a new creation. And the old things have passed away. So just as God spoke and it happened, so in our lives in the new creation, God speaks, and through his word, huge changes are made in us. And what is his word? His word is the Bible. So this is the huge role that's played by the word of God and the Bible. All those who follow this rule, may peace and mercy be with them and with all God's true people. And so to sum up, let nobody trouble me any more, because I have in my body the marks that show that I am a slave of Jesus. So in those days, a runaway slave was sometimes branded with the name of his owner. And so it's as if Paul feels he's run away from Jesus and he's had his name, the name of Jesus, marked on him. Because as Jesus said to him, it's hard for you to kick against the goads of conscience. He should have come to Jesus earlier than he did. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
What does mean branded?
Well, branded means that they took a hot iron and put it in your skin, and with that hot iron they made letters. Maybe it could be F for fugitive, that you'd been a fugitive, you'd been a runaway, you'd run away from Jesus. Or it could be the name of your owner, of your master. Claudius or Marcus or whatever.
Maybe it's the initials.
Or the initials, that's right. So it's as if he feels, as it were, that he has JC, Jesus Christ, branded in him. That he had marks in his body, probably from where he'd been in prison, where he'd been flogged or tortured, and it had left marks on him. And so it should be with us, that there is in our body, in our life, very clearly and publicly, the signs that I am not a free man in that sense. I'm a slave, and I'm a slave of Jesus.